Well, one of the first red flags that scares me the most about vaccines is that they remove any potential for litigation against any damage from vaccines. What that tells you is that they don't have the science set up properly. The original vaccinations, the toxins, or whatever they wanted to call them, to try to put a tiny little bit of a disease into you so that would get your immune system to become aware of that and used to that, and then therefore fight it off and be stronger. That principle is actually a fairly sound principle. But when it came to making money and getting everyone to get vaccinated for all manner of things when it wasn't required, it became a money scheme. And what was thimerosal doing in there? Oh, well, we need that for a preservative. Oh, really? You couldn't think of a better preservative than mercury? Wow, you guys are totally irresponsible. Oh, was it going to cost too much money to do the research? What was the issue with that? So now you got to put a super poisonous thing in there, knowing it's there, not telling us it's there. We had to find out on our own. There was no big warnings. Oh, by the way, did you know that we're putting this and this and this in your body? Is it okay with you? That was never asked. As children, we were injected with all manner of poisons. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't figure it out. One day my eye drooped. I remember my eye drooping. What are we? Directly related to a vaccination. My eye drooped permanently. This one. Wow. I thought that was kind of weird. Couldn't control it. But anyway, vaccinations are irresponsible the way that they're done. If they were responsible, if they made absolutely sure that there was no possibility of a negative side effect, and that if they didn't do their due diligence properly, that they could be litigated against, fair is fair. They don't do those things. There's so many red flags around vaccinations. And then they say, oh, well, you know, you're a radical. No. They're the radicals. They're asking me to inject my children with stuff that I don't even know was in there. That's not a responsible parent. I want to know. And we don't give vaccinations to our children. We went and we used religious rites to not have our children vaccinated. Now they've outlawed that too, though. Anyway, they had to do the science and they didn't. That stinking dirty pool. That's playing dirty. Below the belt, not fair. If you want to play fair, let's play fair. How would you like to be treated? How do people want to be treated the way that they want? I want to treat everybody the way I want to be treated. What am I going to come and tell you? You got to take an injection that I would never dream of taking? Just because I said so, right? Oh, of course it's safe. Would the government ever do anything that's not safe? No, never. There's no money motivation out there, is there? No, nothing's money motivated, no. There's no industry that's money motivated, are there? Everybody's righteous. Everybody's just thinking about everybody's better being. Yeah. What about all the cases of people that were completely devastated by vaccines, even dead? What about those ones? So we're putting our children at risk for what? It is not required. So play fair. They don't play fair. So I'm not going to play then. The only thing I know of the negative effects it has is the people that I've known that were negatively affected, that I saw a lifetime. Because you can hear stuff on the news. You can hear conspiracy theorists. I don't believe either one of them. I just believe in hardcore scientific data, testimonies of people. And you can't say, well, you know, 0.001% of the people had this happen when they had these vaccines. Those numbers are totally skewed. There's a very significant number of people that are affected, but I personally believe that everyone is affected to one degree or another from a vaccination because of, see, it's not about vaccinating for a problem. That's not the issue. The issue is they put other crap into the vaccine that they don't tell you, and there's no responsibility or accountability. That's the issue. Come clean. Do it right. Pay the extra money. Everything from minor mental damage to massive paralysis to little twitches in the face to little things that happened to them that were just came out of the blue. You know, we've seen case after case after case. Now they blame autism. Well, autism? I watched a guy in Toronto. He goes and children that are autistic, they come in and he says, well, I'll tell you what it is. They had a vaccine. And the thimerosal, the mercury, came into a restricted blood vessel in their head because the plates were off a little bit. This child can't look at his parents or read or do anything, can barely talk. And he adjusts the plates within a few days. All that thimerosal that was just frying that little part of their brain there gets released and goes through, and the child can look at his parents and talk. Interesting. Seeing that lifetime. That's happening right now in Toronto, right here in the city. Well, the plates, when a child comes to the womb, the plate of their skull can be a little bit off depending on the pressure. So he does cranial massage, and he can tell when the plates are a little bit off. So if you have a plate a little bit dipped down, you got blood vessels in that brain going through that area. The thimerosal, the mercury that came from the vaccine, got there and got trapped, and it's going zzzz 24 hours a day, causing a brain dysfunction. He moves the plate, it lets it go through, and then detoxes through the body. The child's brain works much, much better. What's that all about? We've all had our plates pressured coming through the womb, unless we were cesarean, but even then they can be a little bit off. Because a child's plates move and they might have a fall and bang their head or whatever it is, but you want to have that nice formation where the brain is sitting happily within the cavity of the skull. So there, I saw that and went, wow, it's like intense, are you kidding? And you see it lifetime. 2 days later, the child is looking at his parents and speaking. It's
that
great.
That must have been beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's just happening right now all the time. This is an ongoing thing. This is not like a random, oh, wow, you know. This is ongoing. This guy's been doing it for years here. So the point is, though, I would like the governmental institutions who take the responsibility to make these things and enforce them as law to also stand accountable and say, we will absolutely make sure this stuff has nothing in it. Is there an agenda behind it? Is there a money-making scheme behind it? I think so. That's why I take exception to it. I don't want my kid to have rabies or, you know, but I opt to not. And we've never had any problems with our children. So my personal experience with cancer devastations in our family started when I was 19 years old, when I first heard my Uncle Bob had liver cancer. I received a phone call out west and that he was going to be going into surgery and chemotherapy. Over that next year, he fought for his life. At one point, they said they had it all. They took a grapefruit-sized tumor out of him. They did the surgery, they did the chemo and radiation, and they felt they had it. I was very happy to hear that. And I was working out west the whole year, so I was apart from my family for that year. 2 months after that, I got a call. The cancer was back, and it looks like he's not going to make it. The doctors basically gave him a terrible prognosis, and that he wasn't going to make it, and that further surgery and chemo was not going to really help. And at the same time, unknown to the rest of the family, his brother, who was 51 years old, so my Uncle Bob was 54, I was 20, my uncle's 51. He got thyroid cancer, but it was so fast and aggressive that it filled his whole abdomen. So that the way that it worked out is that my youngest uncle, Don, at 51, died on the funeral of my oldest uncle, Bob, 54 years old, in 1978. And that just kind of fried most of the circuits in our family when it came to that. Like, my grandparents were blown away because they had to read the obituary of their two sons in the newspaper when they said their son should be reading their obituary. So they never did get over that for the rest of their life. My grandfather cried for 6 months straight, never got over it. Yeah. And I think it took him out earlier than he would have. And then my Uncle Don's second oldest daughter was the next one. She got lung cancer at 37 years old and was taken out within 6 months. No hope. Just down, dead. And then the last one was just recently, when my oldest brother, who was a medical doctor for 37 years, had a herpes simplex virus in his that should have been in his lip going in his brain. He went through an intense thing there down in Panama where they had to give him the meds. Most people die in 48 hours. 90% of the people are dead in 48 hours when that happens. He made it through. 3 weeks in intensive care. Came through, I went and I gave him a whole bunch of stuff that I knew that would mitigate that virus. And he said, now there's no double-blind placebo-controlled studies behind it. I'm not taking that. I said, Doug, you almost died. What does it matter? I drank a gallon of that stuff. It helped me so much. I said, just take it. Nope, wouldn't take it. So that happened November 4th, 2010, when he got it hit. By December, he was back in Canada. January 2nd, 2011, he gets a headache that doesn't go away. They do a CT scan, find a mass growing in his left upper. inside the brain. They go, uh-oh. They do an MRI, validate it, give him steroids to get the swelling down, surgery to cut as much out as possible, put him in, found it was a glioblastoma multiforme level 4, terminal cancer in the head. They said, all we can do is do the surgery, dig it out, do the radiation to kill it as much as we can, hope we get it. Otherwise, it's just chemotherapy and just hope for the best. He was dead March 28th, 2011. Just 4 months, 5 months after he had that first seizure from that infection. So when I saw that, and the lack of care, and the lack of concern that was given, where he just did everything the doctor said and landed in the casket right on time. And the way my uncles went through, landed in the casket when it was my turn to face my own health challenges, which was 12 years ago now. I had to face the music and just get away from the doctors and find a way to get around those things. But I had a much longer list than they had of life-threatening things. So, yeah, the devastation is unacceptable because it cuts the person off before they hit maturity. Anytime you're cut off by a disease prior to maturity, you've lost out, and the families have lost out tremendously. That's not affordable. Nobody can afford that. Because that rest of that life is priceless. It's so valuable. But it gets cut off and everybody loses. That person loses, but everybody loses around them. And they see, the person that's cut off, they're gone. It's the people that remain that they have the great loss. And they'll never forget it. And it will affect them for the rest of their life. But it happened because of a lack of knowledge. It happened because there was an industry that was making money on that. That's why that happened. And that's the only reason it happened. Because fixing that from ever happening is actually doable, affordable, simple. Fixing it even if it does happen, if a person gets diagnosed, is not difficult to fix. It's a lot harder than preventing it, though. So the importance is, like, you know, we got to get real, take action now to make sure it doesn't happen. And if it does happen, and there's some genetic weakness there, we got to deal with it fast. Take responsibility. Don't hand your life over to the doctor. You take the responsibility for your own situation at all times and find out the best way that you can get that thing so your life is healthy all the way through. The work that Ty and his entire team are doing to bring awareness about the potential and the actual realities of dealing with cancer before it devastates families is amazing work, and it's just a matter of somebody doing it. Somebody caring enough about themselves and about the people around them to take action and to put this documentary together, to put these series of stories together, to help people to wake up to what they can actually do. And the real stories of people that are overcoming it. And they're not taking it for granted. They're not taking it at face value from some doctor that tells you what you've got. They're not repeating what the doctor told them. Oh, I've got lung cancer. Oh, and I've got lung cancer. So they're bringing an awareness, bringing the vibrational energy way up as far as consciousness is concerned with the people of what can be done when these things are told them. And not to accept it, laying down and fight. Fight, right? That's exciting because it's encouraging. So that's the most encouraging work that could be done, is to get people inspired to know that there's a way out.